This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Dr. Alicia Thompson, Superintendent of Wichita Public Schools. Welcome to Issues 2019, Dr. Thompson.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you with us. You became Superintendent of USD 259 July 1st, 2017, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
That's just about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
How do you like the job so far?
Well, I love my job. I love working on behalf of kids, and I have been doing a lot of listening over the last 18 months, listening to our parents and business leaders and just kind of understanding a little bit from this seat. You know, you've been in the district a long time, but sitting in this seat is a whole nother ball game. So just listening and trying to seek to understand what our customers and what our students need from us.
And now I'm going to take you a little bit to another place here for just a second, because this week we've had some news. Two really big school districts with teacher strikes. L.A. had one. Mm-hmm. Huge, and they got that settled, and it looks like Denver's had one this week, too. Do you see any trends going on? Are the teachers getting restless out there? Do you know anything?
Well,
for us, we're probably doing all right.
For us, we're doing really well. That's the importance of continuing to have conversations with your employees to make sure that they have everything that they need in order to be successful in their job. So I think that line of communication is very critical in keeping a great working environment for all staff.
Half of the school year is behind us.
Mm-hmm.
What are your highlights from the first half?
Well, it's been a great start. We've rolled out our strategic plan, this is the first strategic plan that we've had in a long while. And it's empowering our kids to dream, to believe, and to achieve. I know a lot of you have seen those hashtags out there. We've had the opportunity to create an early college academy this year our kids will graduate with 60 college credit hours, so we'll start that up in the fall. We've had the opportunity this year to start our Bryant Opportunity Academy, our pilot with our Mental Health Association, the partnership we have there. We have our new BASE program for our young men and our middle school football league. So we've just had a lot of cool opportunities for this year.
Middle school football league?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You're just 50 years too late for me.
Yeah. Oh man, you can still come back.
We did it outside the schools, but we did have when I was in ninth grade, it was the first year we had tackle football, but it wasn't within the schools. This is going to be fun.
Yes, awesome.
It's going to be fun. The Kansas legislature back in session. What would you like to see the lawmakers accomplish regarding K-12 education in the state, Dr. Thompson?
We're just pleased to have a governor that supports education. And so we're just excited that they will, we may not be looking at any cuts. We've had cuts for the last 8 years. So hopefully we'll be able to not worry about that and just focus our energies on making sure that we're providing our students and teachers what they need.
Several conversations with your predecessor. It seems like Dr. Allison and I were talking about cuts the last few years. They've been cutting at you for a while.
Yes.
Kansas lawmakers and the courts are struggling with school financing for several years now. Are you optimistic about progress this time around on financing?
I am optimistic. We have had the opportunity to review the governor's proposed budget, and that gives us hope.
You have taken up a school district in Wichita. I know it's like the largest within the middle part of the United States. How many kids you got to school? What's your enrollment numbers this
year? Oh, we're over 50,000 as always, so we're steady Eddie with the over 50,000 students.
It hasn't fluctuated much? And like you've got 53 down to 52?
Steady. No, about that, yep. Stay in that 50-52 range.
Are you stealing any kids from Goddard and Mays and places like that?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, there's plenty of kids to go around. Yeah. So none of us are in a shortage.
Now, one of the unique things, well, not unique, but largely unique things about the Wichita School District is you got a lot of kids with two languages, a lot of non-English speaking homes. Talk about that for just a little bit with us, will you please?
Yes, we have 105 languages that are spoken in the homes of our students, and they come from 97 countries of origin. So we always say the world walks in our hallways, and so we do have a large number.
Yeah. How do you deal with that? What do you do? I mean, that seems like that might be a big problem in the classroom.
Well, it's a challenge. However, you know, we have our amazing staff that works with our newcomers' classrooms, which our non-speaking students are in, and we are able to make sure that we give them those basic things that they need so that they can transition in with the rest of the students as they move along.
And you're talking about, I'm not talking about a racial diversity here, mm-hmm. but a diversity of cultures,
yes.
coming in, and you can't just deal with two or three different ones now.
That
you got
is
a lot of them,
correct.
But you can't cater to every kid.
Yes,
what do you got to do?
We meet the needs of all.
What about
our kids?
If I'm a Hungarian
Absolutely
kid? I'm going to be a Hungarian kid, and
we're going to value and respect that, and actually learn from you. Actually, that's a great experience for our kids to have all those diverse cultures inside of our school district for students to be exposed to.
You know, and I never thought about that, but you're right. If you could, break some parents in and people like that from different cultures, then you could have some interesting, very interesting sessions.
Absolutely.
Do you get the parents involved that way?
We do. We do involve our parents. Again, with the language barrier, we actually have translations and have opportunities. Even in one of my listening sessions, we had translations going on so the parents had the opportunity to engage with us.
You know, I've heard some of the kids today and the way they talk English, I need to come translate.
We're going to keep working on it.
They use terms I never heard of before. And some of them are pretty bad, but, you know, it's not your fault anyway. So when you've got all these kids coming in there and all these different, all this very diversified population that you have, it's got a day-to-day challenge for us. It's got to be. But you're dealing with it, you think, huh? Have we completed all the improvements called for in the bond issue of 2008? And we're getting, you know, and by the way, some of the improvements have got my high school, night and day. Have we completed all of them now?
Yeah, we have completed. We've wrapped up the 2017 bond construction, and it was about $654 million, and we are complete. And by the way, my husband wants to give you a shout out. He's a West High Pioneer, too.
Well.
So, yes.
And he knows that in the old days, we didn't have glass outside the swimming pool.
Yes. He walks around in amazement.
I've been over there to visit, and I get lost.
Yeah.
I would have to have. If I were a student at West, I'd have to have a GPS on me. But the principal had a way of finding me.
It's a great place. Well, yeah, they'll find those ones. Yeah.
These improvements, though, have been just marvelous. I mean, as a person who grew up in Wichita, I went to USD 259 schools for Hadley and West. I'll tell you what, the improvements, long overdue, I suppose, but just having air conditioning in the schools, it's amazing. These kids are going to, I don't know if they appreciate it or not. They're going to school in some nice, nice places.
Absolutely.
Just a little bit, let's just sidebar a little bit and talk about Southeast. Mm-hmm. Because this wasn't your call, but when they decided to put Southeast, the new school, further out, that seemed like, it was very controversial at the time. But the population was shifting out that way. How's that worked out? Is everything okay over at Southeast? Not that I care. Southeast is not on my agenda.
Well, it's on my agenda. and actually, you know, anytime that you do a move of that magnitude, there's going to be some hiccups and some bumps and some bruises along the way. But Southeast actually is doing great. We actually have seen them to stabilize themselves. We actually have begun to see the transportation kind of was one of the controversial things, and we worked on partnerships there to try to make sure that we have the appropriate transportation to get our kids to and from, the reliable transportation. It's great. So we are really excited about how they're moving and how they're growing and the things that are happening out at Southeast.
The former Southeast school, and that's your administrative offices?
Yes, you should come visit us.
Is that where you have your office?
Yes.
Is it pretty nice? I mean, you got good furniture and everything
in
there?
Yes, and we even have lockers in the hallway. You should come check us out.
You have your own locker?
We have lockers.
Your own locker?
We do.
Well, that's good. I mean, I know the only reason they put you guys over there is you're close to that Mediterranean food place there for lunch, right?
Yes, we could just walk right across the street.
What about, let's talk a little bit about technical training.
Uh-huh.
That's including computers. What kind of training are the kids receiving on that, the students?
We have some great CTE programming.
Because
we
have, this is what's going on right now in the workplace.
Absolutely.
And they had better be savvy.
Absolutely.
Most of them are, the 10-year-olds are more savvy than I.
Absolutely.
But what are you guys doing to take advantage of that?
Yeah, we've actually have now 25 pathways that we offer for our kids. And we have 7 career clusters. And some of the cool things, 32% of our students take some type of CTE training before they leave us. But what we have been doing is really building those pathways through we have an aviation pathway. That's really a cool new thing that I didn't mention that earlier. We are the first school district in the state to have a full-blown aviation pathway that starts at the 9th grade. We are really excited about some of our IT programs that are pathways that are developing. We have coding classes going on in elementary schools, middle schools. We have our Northwest High School, the feeder pattern there. They're working on Google, all of those things. So we have a pretty robust CTE programming as it relates
CTE
to technology.
CTE meaning?
Career Technical Education.
Okay, because you're losing me here already.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when you say a pathway, what does that mean? Does that mean your courses are fashioned to move in a direction? They still get the reading, writing, and so forth, though, right?
Absolutely.
It's like a magnet school within the school, then, maybe? Little bit?
Well, you could kind of say that. Well, okay. What it is, it's really a pathway for students to get to an end. For instance, we can talk a little bit about our aviation pathway. So students start at the 9th grade, and they're taking classes that prep them to be prepared to be able to go into a career right when they graduate. So when our students graduate from some of these pathways, we'll have our first one at the in this May, where we'll have kids that will graduate from a CTE program. From high school, they'll get their high school diploma. They'll get a certification in some kind of patent of an aviation industry pathway, a certification, and then they will move into a job. So we call that a pathway to an end of something. And we also have pathways to go to college. So, again, we have many different pathways that kids can take to their end of their preference.
Well, timing seems pretty good with the Spirit opening up about 2,500 jobs that maybe some of these kids can grab. Those are good jobs.
We're hoping.
Tell us about student performance on test scores. How are we doing on that?
Student test scores are pretty steady. We're making improvements. One of the cool things that we have been working on and that we're starting to see some improvements, some significant improvement, is through our graduation rates. We are now at 74%, which is up more than 17.3% since 2010. And so we are really excited about that. We have some new programs that are in place this year, so we see that number continue to improve. We have learning centers at all of our high schools to help our students to make up credits so that they don't get behind. And we're not just waiting till they're at the 11th and 10th grade. We're working at the 9th grade level so that we ensure that we don't leave any of our kids behind. We've reopened up our Town East Learning Center, where we have already 20 students last semester graduate through the Flex Diploma programming. And so that's, again, some of the additional funding that we received. That's some of the things that we were able to put into place.
It's interesting. Everything you've told me in the last 12 minutes, it just flies in the face of everything that happened when I was a kid, and probably you. One size fits all. Take it or leave it. You know, nothing but spaghetti on the menu.
Yeah.
And
our community told us loud and clear, that we wanted those pathways. They always say, when I was doing all that listening, they said, you always talk about go to college, go to college, go to college. Well, our WSU Tech is a college. Our kids need other kinds of ways to be able to be successful beyond that. And so we've really taken that to heart, and we're moving forward to support our students in that way.
And you're listening to Issues 2019 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Dr. Alicia Thompson, Superintendent of Wichita Public Schools. For just a second, talk about magnet schools. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot of choice for these students in Wichita. Well, tell me about magnet schools.
Well, magnet schools is another opportunity to provide our community with choices. Best ways, a lot of parents look at different things, how their kids learn, the interest that their students have, and being able to place them in a school where those things will be, those skills and those interests are celebrated and kids are able to explore.
How many magnet schools do we have? Was it eight?
We have 42.
Where have I been?
24. Listen to me. I'm looking over here. 24 magnet school programs.
Whatever. 42, 24.
It is 24. They're wonderful. 24 is great. We have a good number.
Different, and again, when you get into those magnet schools, it's not, you're narrowly focused on only what the magnet is. You get all the other stuff as well as you go in a magnet situation, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
From time to time we hear criticism that more money should be spent in the classroom and not as much on other things such as administration.
Yeah.
How do you answer that? I know you get it from time to time. What do you say?
Yeah, we do get that from time to time. But what we can say is that we are the fourth largest employer in the region, and 87.2% of our dollars are spent directly supporting students. I know people talk about that administration costs, and, we have 11%. It's not a secret. It's on any of our, you can get it online anywhere.
Mm-hmm, sure.
11% of our budget is administrative costs, but over half of that is directly with building administration. And so the building administrations directly support students as well. So we really feel like we are very transparent and open, and that we definitely are spending our dollars directly impacting students.
And you've got an institution like any other where you got insurance costs. You got to paint the building every now and then, and there are other costs.
Every now and then, we need to keep up those buildings because we don't want that 2000 the bond issue things to be. We do definitely spend money there too as well.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about teachers. I know that's one part of education. USD 259, are we attracting and retaining enough teachers and the right kind of teachers, you think?
Well, we are doing all that we can to recruit and retain our teachers. Of course, we do the normal job fairs and all the grow your own teacher type deals. But one of the cool things that we've just started is a pathway again to teaching. Mm-hmm. So we have our high school students that will graduate from high school. Those students we would hire those qualified individuals to become para educators in our school district. So they keep them in Wichita, keep them work, keep them going. They'll become paras, and then they go to our partner school with us that we are doing our PAT, which is a parent para apprentice training program. And they then would go to school in the evenings, work during the day, go to school in the evenings, and then eventually graduate and become teachers in our school district. So that's one of the cool things that we'll be starting up in the fall. To begin to not only attract our students into education, but to keep them here in Wichita. That's important to us as well.
What's the biggest challenge in attracting young people to become an educator? First of all, they know, oh, I'm not going to make much money, right?
Yeah.
But what are the others?
As you talk to teachers, it's just a lack of support from people that, may not enough respect for what they really do, because they really are very, very important people. They create our next generation of workforce. And so they just would like to be recognized and appreciated for some of that as well.
I'm going to interrupt you for just a second and tell you something that Police Chief Ramsey, I talk to him from now and the police officers today, they have to do so. They are not only a law enforcement officer, they're a social, they have to know they're a social worker. There are so many aspects to what they're doing now that are not covered by other people. And the same for teachers. I mean, a lot of those problems at home come right into the classroom, don't they?
That is absolutely correct. Yeah? That is absolutely correct.
What does what impact does social media have on Wichita's picture, entertainment, education picture? What's the impact of social media?
Well, we think it's an excellent way for us to share all the cool things that our kids are doing and our teachers are doing in our schools. It's an excellent way for communicating to our families, especially when the weather is bad.
True, yeah.
We need to get information out there fairly quickly. So we think that it could be used as a positive
resource. But is it being disruptive, though? That's what I'm saying. In classrooms?
In classrooms?
Yeah, anything like that.
Oh, no, we have all kinds of ways to distract
that.
Oh,
you deal with that.
Yes. yeah, we make sure that. But, however, technology is, you know, kids have devices that they can use. We use the, teachers use phones for ways to help,
sure.
as a tool to help teach. And so it can be a positive thing as long as you have the appropriate measures in place to ensure that that happens.
What are the aspects of the, of course, of the school bond issue was making every school has a safe room for weather and so forth. But what are the teachers and students, are they safe, would you say, in the Wichita schools?
Yeah.
Are they safer there than on the street? Probably are.
Yeah, a lot of our kids will tell you that, and our students will too. And the data that we collect on our surveys overwhelmingly shows that our students and our families and our staff feel safe. Some of the cool things that we've done is safety is our top priority, and, you know, we
sure.
work on that every day, all day. That's part of what we do. We actually have written some grants. That's actually part of our strategic plan. So we've written a lot of grants to continue to keep our facilities the way we need them to be so that we continue to have safe. We have our resource officers that we have in all of our high schools, which are really pretty cool. We just launched a new Speak Up program. So that kids have the opportunity to say something, see something, and say something. And that has been very, very beneficial to us. So we feel as if we have some of these, and we don't just feel like it, we have data to show that we have some of the safest schools in Wichita or in the country, I would say.
Let's talk a little bit about meals and nutrition.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about that. What, yeah. kids getting enough good chow in there, you think?
We serve over 46,000 meals a day. So they're eating.
And they're all good.
They're all good. They're eating. They tell us about ourselves when they're not. So they're
yeah.
eating. So we have one of the cool things that we've started is our Second Chance Breakfast Program, where our kids get a grab-and-go breakfast after the first hour during their passing period. And so the state had a goal of increasing the participation in that. And in some of our middle schools, we've seen between a 7 and 59% increase with that particular model. And at our high school, our daily participation has increased from anywhere between 11% and some schools 88%.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that if children aren't fed and they don't have their tummies full, then it's hard for them to learn. So
another thing, Dr. Thompson, bringing a kid might come from home where they haven't had a meal for a day or two.
Yeah.
And lots of some homeless kids, too. You got homeless
correct.
Kids going
absolutely.
To school. We're nearly out of time. I just want to talk a little about how important parental involvement is in a child's education.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, it's extremely, extremely important. I think the success of a child depends on two people, two parts. It's the school and it's the family, and, of course, three prongs. It's the community as well. But I do believe that parent involvement is very, very important, and we do all that we can to try to make sure that we're partners with them and not adversarial.
Did you have a favorite teacher when you were young?
I did. Nancy Garvey.
Nancy Garvey.
Miss Nancy Garvey.
What did she teach?
Kindergarten.
It's not a teacher. That's a babysitter.
No, she's a wonderful teacher. She's fantastic. And I still see her and visit with her today.
Did they have nap time when you were in kindergarten?
Yeah, but I don't think I napped.
You didn't?
No, I was busy. I was probably picking at the floor.
I had nap time in high school.
Oh, no.
English.
Oh, no, usually, I wouldn't think
usually during Shakespeare, which I could not understand. So why not take a little snooze right there?
Yeah.
Okay. How about mentors in your education and professional life? Anybody that when you started out being a teacher that helped you a lot?
Yeah. Billy Breckenridge, he was an administrator when I first started teaching, and I just really admired the way that he had a focus of all students and how he took care of his staff. Those things are instrumental in how I lead today because I just believe that our people are our greatest resource, and you make sure that you're listening and engaging and including them in the process, and there's nothing you can't do.
Here's your chance to make a sales pitch. Why should a young person want to be a teacher?
Why?
Yeah.
Because you make a difference in the lives of students, and not that, just your community as a whole. Because again, your responsibility is so massive. It's to create the next workforce for our community, and that is huge.
Gee, it seems like a lot of responsibility.
Yes. Yes, and it's rewarding because when those kids come back years later and they recognize you and they remember you and they talk about all of the things that you did to impact them, it's huge.
Is there any person in the USD 259 that that you really don't like and you'd like to discuss right now and name them on the radio?
let me think about
it. I'm testing you to see how diplomatic you've become over the past year and a half.
Well, sometimes you lose it.
Yeah, right. Well, listen, I want to thank you for taking the time with us. And there's a lot of responsibility with those 50,000-plus kids out there.
Yes,
and we
sir.
Appreciate the job that you and all of our educators do.
Absolutely.
Here in Wichita. Our guest is Dr. Alicia Thompson, Superintendent, Wichita Public Schools. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We will be back next week. And thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.